T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So I've been getting made fun of all day by really hyping up the tough stretch that the Miami Hurricanes have after the bye week. We're getting to the meat of the Coastal, Crowder.
There's no meat in the Coastal. Y'all are vegetarians. There's no damn meat in the Coastal.
There's falafel. After the bye week, you've got, and I would say that the two games coming up, and I've been made fun of for saying this, but this is just the reality of Miami football. I would assume the people making fun of me are probably fans of other teams who are laughing at my plight, but the reality of Miami football is when you're 2-2 and you barely beat Central Michigan, it's a very important stretch coming up when in a 6-day span, you've got Virginia Tech on October 5th. And Virginia on a Friday night, October 11th. This is very important stuff. And so to tackle important material like this, we bring in our friend Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post. Tom, how are you this afternoon?
Crowdy, I think you mean vegans, not vegetarians.
They're vegan. I don't know what they are, Tom, but I know they don't have no meat on the Coastal. I know that
no,
much.
There is no meat on the Coastal. The Coastal division of the ACC is the worst division in college football. Power five group,
wow.
Power five conferences. No, there's no. I don't think it's not even close. That's
yeah,
the worst
you're probably
division
right.
Of Power five.
It's still Miami struggles in the Coastal seemingly every year. So as far as you know, before we tackle the very tough stretch coming up, coming out of the Central Michigan game, how surprised were you? Not only by the result, because anybody who just looked at the score, 17-12, was a head-scratcher. You know, the defense was fine, but, you know, the offense only had two good drives, Tom, the entire game. It was the opening drive and then the first drive of the third quarter. I mean, how shocked were you by what transpired?
I don't have a – you know, great high hopes for this team. I mean, it's going to take some time. And we saw it. And here's the thing. We see this year in and year out, starting with the end of that year. You know, they're 10-0, which we found out was, you know, that was all smoke and mirrors because we saw how that team ended, that season ended. But last year, 77-7, was it, Savannah State? 77-0, something like that. You know, and then a couple of weeks later, they go on a 4-game losing streak in the ACC. Now they did handle Toledo last year, so I guess that's better than they've done so far this year. But and the other thing is, you see a lot of these games, and there's just not a lot of in the ACC. Who have they lost to? Appalachian State, Furman should have beat Virginia Tech, ULM should have beat Florida State. There's just not a lot of good football teams in this conference, and Miami is just one of those, you know, like meh teams. It's one of them, and they can lose to anybody in the in Division One, if you know, Group of Five, Power Five, you name it. So that and the other thing is, if you saw what was written today, and my story was just posted on what Manny said, and this is a little troublesome. He ripped into them. He stopped practice halfway through practice today, and so this is it. He's sick and tired of seeing guys come out not competing in practice, not competing in the games. And he just blasted his team for the way they went out to practice today and the way they were kind of going through the motions on the field. I mean, that's the problem. That's a big problem, because when you don't have a lot of talent, the one thing you can control is effort. You can't get a guy out there and say you're better than you are, but you can say you better give us the effort. And if he's not getting the effort from everybody, with the lack of talent, you know, you're looking at a team that would you be surprised if they won 5 games this year? No. Would you be surprised if they won 9? Probably not either way.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's going to depend on just how they go out and play these games and how much they want to compete.
And Tom, that article at PalmBeachPost.com, I'm looking at it right now, and they said he's not.
Thank you, Crowder.
They're not competing. They're not competitive.
Wow.
Did he say anything about why? Did he give an answer on why or what he thought it was?
I specifically asked him after 5 weeks, is this kind of surprising? And he kind of went off on a tangent on the culture and changing the culture. And there's a bigger picture here with culture. To me, if you want to, we want to focus on the competitiveness. I think within 5 weeks that this shouldn't be an issue. Guys should know. Look, we're not the most talented team in the league, but if we get out there and we play with effort and we compete, we can win our share of games. We can get to a bowl. We can win, whatever, 7, 8, maybe 9 games. So I think that's different than changing the culture. I mean, I don't think this culture means being competitive every practice. So he didn't say that, but he did say this, and this is not the first time, because after the game on Saturday, the first thing, what he said was, we didn't have a good practice last Wednesday. Actually, it was the same day. And then Jaren Williams said to us, yeah, that carries over. If you don't, it carries over. Your practice habits carry over to games. That does make sense. So I think what he's now seeing is, we this is it. We saw what happened last week when we didn't practice well. We saw how we played Saturday. Now we're having another week like this. It's time to do what? It's time to make them give better effort. But he did say that he took the players apart. He took the players aside. He talked to the players, know which ones are doing. He made it clear it's not everybody. Yeah. The players that are giving effort, the players that are being competitive, the players that are all in, you guys better do something about this, because you don't want to see the coaches do something about it because you won't like it. So he's kind of laying it on the leadership and the guys who he likes what they're doing, and the guys that are all in, and he's seeing, and that's the next step. And will they be able to change things? And if not, you're going to see changes in the lineup. You're just going to see guys who are going to sit, and it's going to affect their playing time.
We're joined here by Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post. And, Tom, you've been covering this team up close and personal the last couple of years. So when I hear comments like that from Diaz about the culture, maybe some of that at least goes back to the way Mark Richt was running things. But I want to ask you, where do you draw that line? Like, how much of this is on the way things were before, and then how much of it is on Diaz and his staff failing?
That's a great point, Donald, because that always comes to my mind when a guy replaces somebody. And it's easy to do that when you're Willie Taggart and you don't have any ties to Jimbo Fisher. And it's easy to do that when you're just a guy coming in, the other guy was fired, or the other guy, left for a new job and you weren't on his staff. Manny's in a tough position, because when he says that, clearly he is casting aspersions on what was here before. And he was on that staff.
Yeah.
And he was part of that, and that's his friend. So that's got to be difficult. I wonder if that ever he ever thinks that, by saying this, he's not putting the former guy in good light. Well, that former guy is the guy that hired him as his defensive coordinator, and the guy he was on his staff, and the guy he worked for. I've had this discussion with a lot of the beat writers and a lot of people down there, and the question always comes up, and Manny says this over and over again, this program, Blake Edgerson said the same thing. This program is in better shape. Did I say Blake Edwards? Blake James. This program is in better shape than it was when Mark Richt left it, than it was when he got there. So they continually say that. My feeling is they're talking a lot about off the field. It's in Right, the indoor practice facility, that was crucial. That was crucial for the University of Miami, and Mark Richt got that done. But is this program really in better shape on the field? I don't know. But was it in better shape on the field at the end of last year? I don't think it was then, too. And so, right, and you're asking Manny to come in and fix that also. So you've got to kind of separate them. I don't think Mark Richt left this in great shape. And I think Manny needs a little bit of time. And not just that, we look at the recruiting class last year, that it was the worst they've had in, years that we can go back and think of many, many recruiting classes. Nothing was as bad as what they had last year. And Manny, and the quick fix was trying to bring guys in the transfer portal. Well, how's that working out? You know, how many
KJ
guys
Osborne
are really contributing?
Nice. KJ.
That's about it. And that's the buyer beware. I said this, you know, there's a reason guys are in the transfer portal. The kid, Kennedy, he hasn't even stepped on the field yet. He was going to be the starting left tackle. KK Martell was going to be the starting quarterback. Now, that's the one position we don't have to worry about, because that's been the bright spot this year has been, I believe, they found a quarterback. But no, have those guys changed much? No, KJ Osborne is about the one guy who's made a difference, and they brought in 7 or 8 of them. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to come down to getting the recruiting turned around, and that's going to be the lifeline to this program, is getting back to that recruiting the way they used to recruit.
And that would be what Manny having a full year under his belt could do to him. But yeah. Being the Gator is crazy for me to do this. I want to bring a little positivity.
Thank you.
To the Kane conversation. Tom, I said it earlier, and people on the text line, they were saying I was crazy. I said Jaren Williams is the best quarterback in the state of Florida. You have the boy, you have buried at USF. You have the young boy, I think his name's Gabriel, at UCF. He went in there for Wimbush. Trask and Blackman. I would take Jaren Williams over all of those guys.
He is. I agree, Crowder. Before the year, in fact, it was funny because I've written a couple of things about that. In fact, I did a column on where's all the quarterbacks in the state of Florida. Where have they gone? This state has, seven Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Have come from the state, and there wasn't one pro football focus. There was not one in the top 35 in the country when Pro Football Focus put out their top college quarterbacks. And the top one they had was James Bronson. Well, they weren't sure. That was, I think, came out just as Jaren Williams was named starter, so they didn't even really have. They said the Miami quarterback. They didn't even know who the starter was going to be. I think he has emerged. I think the best quarterback probably in the state. The best college quarterback in the state is hurt, and he's at UCF, because Mackenzie Milton is a great college quarterback. But he's not playing this year, and I agree. I think the best quarterback in the state, whether it was Felipe Franks, we don't know about Trask really, but when Felipe Franks, gave Jaren Williams, I'd rather have first game of the year, Jaren Williams was the best quarterback in the field.
I'm with you there. I'll take Jaren Williams over, and I'm a UF guy, over Franks, Trask, and Emory Jones. I am impressed with Jaren Williams. I swear to goodness I'm impressed with Jaren.
I am too, this is what makes this a little difficult to take, because the one thing that you wanted to solve coming in is you wanted to find a quarterback, and you think, okay, we're going to get the quarterback and things are going to be, the offense will be better. We've already got a very good defense. Well, they found their quarterback, and the team may not be as good as last year's team. And that's the disturbing part. The offensive line is worse, and that's holding Jaren back. So that's holding back the receivers, because he has no time to throw to the receivers. The running game is about the same. You know, DJ Dallas is what we expected. He's taken the next step. You know, he's a nice player. And I just don't think the defense is as good as last year. It's clear the defense is not as good as last year. So although they found the quarterback, which was the number one thing you thought would make this team better this year, they found the quarterback, but yet are they better? I don't think they are, because they regressed in a couple of other areas.
We're joined by Tom DeAngelo from the Palm Beach Post. One of the bigger pieces of news to come out of Coral Gables today, Tom, is it looks like Zach McCloud is going to redshirt and be the anchor of the linebacking unit next year, which to me makes a lot of sense, because I do like Sam Brooks a lot, the freshman, but the depth beyond that is non-existent right now. So I feel pretty good about McCloud Brooks next year. What's the buzz around that situation?
Well, that's it. We just found that out today. Like, it was discussed. I wasn't around the team last couple of weeks. I wasn't around the team, but it was discussed last week. Manny was asked about it, and it was almost as if he didn't make it sound like it was even talked about. And then he said today that Zach McCloud came to him, and Zach, I know Zach a little bit. He's a Palm Beach County kid. And I did a story on him early in the year, and just the type of his off the field stuff. He's a great kid. Smart kid, probably not a great, not a real, he could play in the NFL. He'll get a shot, but his future's probably, somewhere else, because he's just a really smart kid. He'll get his graduate school going, and then he'll take a shot. And then if he gets a shot in the NFL, they're probably better off. It will be better having played a full year, where if he comes back next year, he's just going to be the anchor of the linebackers most likely, whereas this year he just wasn't going to get on the field. They've changed that scheme. They're playing two linebackers, Pinckney and Quarterman, never come off the field, so those spots are taken. And then that striker position, Romeo Finley, and, you know, he wasn't playing much there, so his snaps were limited. I think this is courtesy of the Miami Herald guys, who told me that their calculation, he's played in 21 defensive snaps all year. Wow. Now, he didn't play Central Michigan because I think they'd already made that decision. But he's played in 21 defensive snaps, and he's played some on special teams. So they like that. It's a smart decision. I really agree with it. I think it's good for the program and for the kid.
I could give you 21 snaps right now. That's it. 21 snaps.
I saw you jumping off that bridge. Not sure about that one.
Goal line, short yardage.
He still has a game in him, too. He still has one left. He can still play one more because he's played three. And the way Manny said is, if nothing, he's there. In
we'll save him for the national championship game.
Oh. Well, if something, but it's, well, you're close, because he did say if he's not needed in an emergency, they'll play him in the bowl game.
Love it. Yeah, always now, great content here. Oh, sorry to cut you off, Tom. Go ahead.
I was going to say, now the question is, will there be a bowl game? But
you had to. I should have just cut you off at that point. Tom DeAngelo does great work in the Palm Beach Post, palmbeachpost.com, and follow him on Twitter at TomDeAngelo44. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. And remember, as much as you want to, as bad as it is, we always have the Dolphins Sunday.
Huh? See, that he made me feel better with that one.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.